Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Daniel,
yeah,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Wilbur.
Do I have a voice mod on?
No.
Okay, you promise?
I promise.
Did I at first?
No.
Okay, I thought I heard a dark echo.
Oh, maybe. I don't freaking know. You're in an airport.
I know, but it sounded like... Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Wilbur.
I'm still at the airport.
It's been six days.
They locked me away in here after the last thing we talked about.
Did you find that secret underground passage?
Yeah, it's full of shackles on the walls, delousing powder.
Why is it full of, what's that about?
I don't know. I think they disinfect you before they do things to you. Down there. It's not what we were told. It's not what we're told. I tell you that much. It's not. They're like, oh, come this way, sir. It's like extra inspection. You get through the line faster. I was like, okay. I'm like, well, what are all these stairs for? They're like, oh, it's just shortcut. I was like, oh, okay. Then I got real excited. And then, yeah. Then they pull out the rubber gloves and they were searching my cavities.
Yeah.
But I'm out.
Good.
And now I'm waiting outside my gate for the rest of the week, feels like. So, yeah. So, here we are. Welcome back. Welcome back to the shack.
Yeah.
Do you feel welcomed?
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss the Wilbur presence in the shack?
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to mess with the satellite phone this episode or no?
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to do that anymore.
Today is a work day. First.
Oh, they heard that last time.
Yes.
Enough of this sob story. You know what? When it comes to the shack, you need every day is work. Every day is a work day. There's no more excuses, okay? When you wake up, you live to work. Huh?
I'm trying to work.
Well, stop using it as an excuse. Work better. What are we going to talk about today?
This is your idea, like always.
What do you mean, like always?
You always do, like, you always have plans when you come into an episode. So why don't you go ahead and just introduce it? I think you're going to do a great job today, and I can't wait.
Oh, I can't tell if that's sarcasm or not.
I'm being sincere.
Oh, that's new.
last week, we got a lot of reports that listeners thought I was in the right, but I may have been a little too mean to you.
In the right?
Yes.
Well, now I know these are wrong comments.
That I was correct, but
about what?
The way I came off may have been a little too mean.
About what? What were you correct about? I find this hard to believe.
Isn't this funny that we're recording these back to back?
Oh, you're refusing that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. The jury is still out.
There's 10 minutes in between them.
Yeah, pretty much. It felt like I was still walking around looking for a charger.
It was 25 minutes. I had to make sure. I know.
I'm just.
But I already had the potatoes done from lunch, so that's, you know, that's why it was so fast.
Ah, one step ahead.
Yeah. I mean, shepherd's pie is really easy once the potatoes are done.
Um, So, you want me to introduce the episode? So, in today's episode, let me check my timer. Just make sure. Are we like 5 minutes? That was like 5 minutes of me.
4 minutes, yeah.
Okay. I wanted to talk about, well, let's just set it up. What brought this subject to light was my grandma had recently passed away. And in times like that, you know, you kind of sit and reflect with family and your thoughts and things like what that and whatnot, you know, nostalgia gets brought up, just things of your childhood, good memories, especially if you had a good grandma like I did. But we're losing a generation. We're losing a whole generation of people that I think you and I both grew up with. And, you know, I don't know if they'll be there when, by the time we're older, you know, that type of people in that generation. Because when you lose, you know, when your grandma's gone, well, most people got to. When they're gone, they're gone. You don't get them back.
Right. And what goes with that, you know?
Tradition. Ooh, good recipes.
Yeah, an amalgamation of information for a lifetime.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. Amalgamation of information. I can't even say it. It's so good.
Sorry, there was like white stuff on the top of my pop can.
Oh, okay. You were scaring me there.
No, it was just, it looked.
Careful, like, brush it off. They've been putting it on my food too. I've got to get a screen on my
stuff. I thought
it
was ricin, which is organic.
Right, that don't even mess with me anymore.
It's ricin.
The amount of microdoses of ricin I've been exposed to since starting this show.
So, yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Stuff your grandma forgot.
Yeah, or not forgot, but forgot to share. Maybe, is that it? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's more, to me, it's, I say it kind of a jokey thing. To me, it's more that stuff that is being forgotten from that generation, the generational divide. So we're in this weird, me and you both are about in our 30s. I'm sure. By that, you're in your 30s.
Sure.
I'm about to be in my 30s.
Watch your mouth. We're both about in our 30s, right?
Yeah.
Remember, I'm Wilbur. I'm tall, long, flowy hair, handsome, big mustache. Very young, spry.
Very young and spry.
I forgot muscular.
Yeah, you look like Brad Pitt, right?
I said I'm Wilbur, right? Not Daniel.
I think so.
Okay, good. I hope so.
Yeah.
Just the tape will tell. But go on.
Our grandparents' generation are at the age where they were still doing stuff. Like, we'll talk about our grandmas, like, you know, whether it's homesteading, canning, foraging. Medicine is a big one.
Surviving in a different way. Surviving in a different era.
Their generation, their kids' generation, learned almost none of that.
Correct.
Because it was the big turn for, like,
of the convenience.
The inconvenience and the industrialization were.
Yep.
It wasn't the industrial age, but you know what I mean? Where it was. But still, another thing where modern electronics and computers completely changed the world.
I was just going to say the technological machine started its beginning with the everyday person.
Yeah.
Not just those that had the money to afford it.
Right. They lost it. So as our generation, we talked about this before in a previous episode, our generation's kind of starting, and then the generation right below us are starting to turn back and try to learn some of those skills.
Yeah.
And the amount of information that's being lost to the ages is insane right now. And that's kind of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. They call it the old ways.
The old ways. Yep, my grandma would slap a goat on the butt 3 times to make it rain every single time.
See, there's something about it.
You had to do it a certain way.
Who taught you that?
My great-grandma.
Now, is that the Blood Witch?
No, not that one.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I think I could explain that one, but...
Yeah, well, no, yeah, she did. Yeah, you know, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. That was different reasons.
That was
no.
That was too funny to not...
That's about the nicest thing she ever did to a goat. Just lightly slap it.
Okay, all right. I'm very glad.
She used
glad
to slit their
that.
Throats and do I'm the rituals while they were alive.
And you're not kidding.
No, I'm
you're
not.
You're not kidding. I'm very glad that you're in my headphones. Very, very fortunate.
You've heard of like them, like her molesting animals and stuff like that, right?
You've divulged some info, but not. I don't know if you went that far.
Yeah, I'm just saying, slapping a goat on the butt is about the least thing that would happen to that goat on that property.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness.
That'd be one that gets away with it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't. Yeah. Let's. We don't have to get into those if you don't want to.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. I don't care. But no, we're talking more. I was talking more about my grandpa's mother. Actually, would be the one that. Knew everything.
Right, yeah. I guess there's other things too, I guess, that it's probably good it didn't get passed down, I guess, as well. But I guess there's that in every generation. You know?
Yeah.
But we're focusing on the good things. Mm-hmm. And because that's what this show is about, the good things in life, right?
Yeah.
It's about the good things. It's about eating clean. It's about drinking fresh water. Breathing fresh air, raising quail, and fighting a machine. And learning stuff our grandparents knew.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah,
you're up.
So mine passed away a couple weeks ago. And they called her. Oh, that's a good idea. I should have had this prepped. As I'm doing that, I'm going to bring up her obituary because my cousin had wrote a very nice, touching obituary that was very accurate. You know what I mean? It was nice. So as I'm loading that, my grandma was one of those ladies that when you are like thinking when you're a kid growing up and you're like watching the cartoons and you know you see the grandma on TV and you know it's very stereotypical. Grandma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you get the thought of she's always in the kitchen making something, always forcing you food. And you always, when she feeds you, it's always in excess and abundance. And she's making sure she's sending you home more. And she's always, you know, hanging up the church with, you know, come see me sometime, you know, come to church this Sunday. That was my grandma, like that woman to a T. Always giggly, always laughing. But shall I read from, I'm going to read from her obituary. I'm going to skip all the personal stuff and just go to what kind of lady she was.
Yeah.
And just see if, you know, our grandparents are changing over time. But it says she was truly one of a kind, even while struggling with dementia. She remained positive, bubbly, and giggly, which throughout my entire life, from the day the very earliest memories of her till the very, very end, she was always laughing and always giggling, which I think is probably where I got my laugh from, because I like to laugh too, but always, she always was. And I just thought it was because I was around, but I guess not. I guess everyone else made her laugh and giggle, you know? She was just that person. So it wasn't just me. She brightened the day of any person that she encountered through her infectious laughter, silly yet hard to follow stories, and delicious cooking. Faith and family were the most important aspects of her life, both of which will be her legacy. She showed her love through cooking, hosting large family dinners with all her best recipes. And then chicken, mashed potatoes, sweet corn, applesauce, noodles, baked beans were among her staples. And she also loved to make special treats, Rice Krispies, frosted graham crackers, and her infamous banana stuff, in quotes. Now, as I pause there, my grandma not only did my family and my cousins, like our age generation, know about all of her staple famous food. So did my parents' family and their generation. And about everybody around their age in our town knew about my grandma's food and her Rice Krispies and her banana stuff. I'll put that in quotes. There's almost nobody around that age, my parents' age, that live in our town that don't know about my grandma's food, which, you know, is pretty touching. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's an endearing thing to be known for. Continue on, says her faith in her Lord. Her faith in her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was very important to her. Her and her husband, my grandparents, spent many years as evangelists or with evangelists, traveling to different churches, spreading the gospel through teaching and music. She would teach the young children Bible stories and was finally known as grandma to everybody, and says she will be loved and remembered and missed by so many. And I do remember, and actually at the funeral, my cousin was reading or kind of shared his thoughts, you know, about my grandma, and he was telling stories. And when we were in Bible school with kids, we would go down to the basement, and all the kids would go down to the basement, and that's where Bible school was. And it was always a different parent kind of leading it each week. And every now and then it would be my grandma. She would be the one that was on duty. And whenever she would read the stories or sing the songs, she would 100% act them out, like full on arm range motion. You had to be out of range, you know. You might have got an arm swiped at your head, whether she's imitating the airplane flying or, you know, things of that nature. Even all the way till very end, she was still that very animated person. But just, but that's pretty much it for the obituary talking about her. But they described her as the model Christian. And that's just because who she was. She never spoke ill of anybody and was always positivity and never said a bad word either. It was just always, if a bad word ever meant to come out, like if it was that moment, it was always, it was just gibberish. Like if she burnt her hand or something. But yeah, I think we're losing that generation.
Yeah, I agree.
The home-cooked meals, you know, and the butter dishes. Did your grandma do that? Leftovers in the old butter container?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still do that.
Oh, well, see, you're getting some of the things. That's a staple grandma move. Ooh, what's another grandma move?
What?
Besides, I said that's a grandma move, is putting the leftover food in the butter container and then sending it home with the grandkids. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So I'm asking you, what's another typical grandma move?
No, you said like the overfeeding, the taking like your side over your parents' side because that's their kids. That was always fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I had that a lot. But all my grandparents and I were really close, except a small handful.
Yeah.
So I was always doing stuff with them. But no, like, a completely different thing than I thought we were going to get into.
No, let's just, we can get into what we need to get into. I was just wanting to set that up.
No, I just, you know, it's amazing because it is a lot to think about.
Well, not only are they, because I know we're going to talk about the things they do or mm-hmm. did, the skills they had,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the type of people they are too, you know?
Like, my thing with the older generations, or grandparents' generations,
mm-hmm.
is that, how frustrated our generations get with them for, like, not keeping up with technology.
Right.
And it's ridiculous. Like, you gotta think, like, they're from a whole different world.
Pretty much.
My great-grandmother was telling us how many car wrecks there were when the first cars came out.
Was it a lot?
Yeah. Keep in mind, everybody, they went, like, 23 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And people were wrecking them and stuff like that.
Oh, man. Is that why they still go 23 miles an hour today?
Yeah. I mean, that was, keep in mind, the fastest thing they had before that was horse or train. They had trains, but trains don't feel like it because you're in an capsule.
Right. Yeah. It's like being in an airplane. You don't feel like you're going, what is it, 4 miles an hour?
Yeah.
300, I don't know. Fast.
Yeah.
Like another skill was a big skill was preserving food, canning food.
Oh, yeah. When we get to skills, it's insane amount of stuff. But yeah, they came from a completely different world. Like the funny thing in this house is that there's still like some of the original cabinets from the house.
Yeah.
So you have when you open them up, there's just 100 phone numbers written inside of it.
Yeah.
And most of them do not exist anymore.
No, because most of those phones don't even exist anymore.
I think there's one in there that's only 5 digits.
Wow.
That's a joke.
I didn't know. Well, that house is from the 1800s, right?
No, early 19s.
Early 19s. I knew it was close.
Yeah, it was built before the town. Not really, but it may have been built before the town changed its name.
I was going to say that, yeah. So technically it is before the town.
Yeah, so... sorry. That was one thing that always bothered me. I worked a lot with elderly people, and I mean, like, you know, dementia and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
You know, when they can't figure out how the new cash registers work, and they get frustrated.
Right.
You know, it makes sense they get mad. It's a whole different thing, and I think, and we're starting to run into that. We're getting to the age of now a little bit.
I was just gonna say that we do it.
Well, we're starting to run into it. But I'm talking like the whole world is like, keep in mind when we're talking these people that were born, like my great grandmother was born 1900.
Okay. 1900, yeah.
Yeah. So she died at 101.
Yeah.
So she was around before planes, automobiles, and before Ohio destroyed all the mounds.
Wow.
When she was born, it was the Wild West was still raging.
Literally, when she was born before Marty McFly went back in time.
Yeah,
not before Back to the Future 3, but
yeah. So she's seen in her life the first flight land. You know what? You can say whatever you want about landing on the moon, but you know, experiencing part of the culture. You know, the first flight landing on the moon, automobiles being produced, and then. The Shelby Cobra coming out, you know, just in the motor space. And then in this, you know, the 60s when computers were the size of buildings to she's seen, you know, she wasn't alive for like the tiny cell phones we have now, but she's seen cell phones that, you know, they told you that these cell phones are more advanced than the capsule that got us to the space station.
Yep.
You know, so it's hard for, I think, the young generation to realize
that they
can't keep up with all of that.
Right.
How
do you go from, you know, growing up with a ball and a cup to trying to play Bop It?
Yeah. No, she would talk about, like, they didn't have, like, what we would call a childhood.
What do you mean?
Like, she was, like, Schrader would talk about, like, being 4 years old and butchering chickens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, immediately started working on the farm.
Right. There was no time for joy. Like,
yeah, they had fun. Don't get me wrong.
Right. But she was a happy woman. Kid.
But yeah, it's different, you know, and
very different. Yep.
So they learned these skills much earlier. It's just a weird, you know, I think that's what is being lost in these generational divides is that we are, yes, living in the same world, but we grew up in vastly different ones.
Yeah. And like you said, the learning curve for skills is being pushed back further and further, I believe.
Yeah, I can't keep up with technology now.
Well, for sure. Not even just that. I just mean as far as just in general.
Oh, in general, sure.
Even basic skills is being – I can't use that word, but is being delayed. And, you know, and we think, you know, from my perspective growing up, you know, 90s, 2000s. It seemed like, you know, all the technology that was coming out, we were at that peak of advanced civilization. There was no one that came before us that, you know, it could, you know, this with the technology we have, you know, how could they even people be smarter than we are now? You know, that's how I was thought, you know, growing up. And, you know, that's probably propaganda that I was taught. But now as I'm older adult and I reflect back on like my grandparents the skills they had, and look forward to like skills that I want to have or hope to acquire. You know, the things they already had that they learned that came almost natural to them, to a lot of them. Now it's just, like you said, it's a new generation kind of rediscovering those things and redoing them, but it's few and far between.
Right. So, like, that's been my big thing the last, everybody that listens to the show knows, is, hey, can you tell them to quiet down?
What'd you say?
Can you tell that lady to quiet down in the background?
Yeah. Hey, we're working here.
But no. Like, that's, I've been canning more, pickling, preserving, making jelly from scratch, making bread. That's been me and Lisa's big thing recently. Is making homemade bread, and like, we freeze it. Like, we'll make, what we do is we make two loaves at a time. So we eat the one, and then we freeze one. So whenever we don't want to make,
comes out pretty much just as good.
Yeah, it's a little different. Like,
it's just but it, you know, it's still delicious.
It's tasty. Don't get me wrong.
Still better than the sliced stuff you get in the store.
And medicines is the thing I'm trying to work towards too, and that's the big one with Grandma Audrey, completely different grandma. That she's the one that got called a witch a lot because she just didn't kill snakes.
Yeah, she didn't shake them to death.
Yeah, or cut their heads off when they were seeing them and stuff. Like, she liked all animals. Don't get me wrong, she ate a lot of animals too. But
that's life.
What with respect?
That's the part. That's part of it.
She was a big lady. No mistreating animals. You can eat and butcher animals.
Yeah.
But you do it ethically and humanely.
Right. And you know, when you eat, if you're going to eat an animal that you mistreated, I think you're going to find out how that will reflect on your health, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that negative energy you put into it and then you consumed it, it's going to become part of you because you are what you eat. One of the few truths we were told as youths growing up.
Yeah.
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat.
I mean, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Careful what you consume. Consume quail. Grow your own food. Drink filtered fresh water, not from a plastic container, with BPA and BPAS. Or BPS, sorry. You know, I learned that from this show, right?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, people. You know, we're laying the foundation, the building blocks of, we're bringing back the old way. It's the new old way.
It's the new old way.
Yes, this is the start. It's back to Grandma.
But no. sorry.
What?
No, it's sorry just that my Grandma Audrey was great with medicine. They always said that she's the reason her husband didn't die of cancer. Even though they did get divorced, but she still probably saved his life.
Yeah.
And that was really rare for, that was really rare in their day for divorce.
Right. Yeah.
But
it must've been serious.
I only knew my grandpa, that grandpa that she divorced, like just barely.
Yeah.
Like, I think he died when I was 4. And the stories, I heard about him were he may have been a pretty rough man.
Okay. Fair enough.
So yeah.
Different times.
Very different times. So, anyways, that I still have it. I don't know what the heck is in this jar, but we always called it grandma oil. I've showed you the oil.
Yeah, I know. You told me how you guys had to squeeze it out of her.
Yeah, it's hard. No, I really, she made it a long time ago, and it's just sat in a big mason, like a huge mason jar, and it keeps and keeps and keeps. And
so what do you,
we
what
rubbed it on
it?
Grandpa when he had cancer. So he died his third time of cancer. But we rubbed it on him every time. So it works 2 out of 3 times.
Hey, that's what Meatloaf said.
What?
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I don't get what Meatloaf was talking about.
That's the name of his song.
2 out of 3 ain't bad?
Yeah, Meatloaf has a song called 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Okay. A 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You know it. You know if you heard it.
Okay. I believe you. I just
What's the grant? What's you don't know what the oil is for, like?
I have absolutely no idea what's in it.
Not what's in it. Well, I mean, I know you don't know what's in it, but like, what's it? Intention was just for that.
It cures everything, as far as I understand.
Okay, just by rubbing it on, or have you consumed it?
I've not consumed it. They put it on. I did put it on a wart one time. The wart did disappear.
Wow.
But it stinks, and it's the jar that it's in is it's that batch is 50-ish years old, 60 years. I'm saving it in case I ever get the big C or something like that.
You tell me any good medicine that works that does that smells like roses and.
Well, here's the thing: is it smells like a turpentine.
Oh, that's a good stink.
But not a one to eat, right? Like, you know that's like a dangerous smell.
Yeah, yes.
Like, I like the smell of gasoline, but I know if I put gasoline in my mouth, that's bad. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, because it does smell great.
So it has, I love the smell of gasoline, but it's one of those smells.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We're like.
It's not an what's the word?
An edible smell. It's not like cinnamon rolls when you open the jar.
Fresh bread.
Grandma oil. Dip a little bread in there.
Ooh, you should dip a little bread.
I know it. So, tonics, the actual, like, not tonics. Is that what it is? Tonic, yeah.
Tonic.
Yeah. So, you infuse them, like, you use almost pure drinkable alcohol is a lot of times the base.
Oh, wait, tonic. No, it's called, I know what you're saying. You keep talking, I'll think of it. Sorry.
So, like, the one I've learned is, like, ghost pipe.
Ooh, the mushrooms, the fungus.
It's neither.
Oh, it's neither?
It's a parasitic plant.
So it's a plant?
Yeah. So it has no chloroplasts.
Okay.
So that's why it kind of it does kind of have a mushroom-esque look to it. Don't get me wrong.
It's called a tincture.
Tincture. Thank you.
Yes.
So I know a lot of those tinctures they would make would use alcohol as the base.
Yep, I've made a tincture.
Like moonshine or what homemade moonshine, that kind of stuff.
Right, right, yep.
So... Like ghost pipe, if you can find it, it will make the best painkiller you'll ever have in your entire life. Hmm. And it's not addictive.
Where does ghost pipe grow?
I can't remember. It's oak trees. It's a pair. Like, it's really hard to find anymore.
So it's a parasitic plant on a specific.
On a root system that only blooms to reproduce. So it's always in the ground.
So you just have to catch it at the right time.
Yeah, you got to pick the stems.
Okay.
But when you make the tincture, if you have a good, like, it lasts forever.
Yeah.
So you just got to get lucky every couple of years of finding it.
So it's a non-addictive painkiller.
Yeah, but it's really strong. So that's the one thing I've seen about, and I'm not a medical professional whatsoever, so take everything with this as a grain of salt.
Right.
The problems I've seen with it is people not understanding it.
And the dosage of it.
Like, mm-hmm. The one guy I was, when I did, like, herbal medicines and wilderness camping and stuff like that, when he was explaining to it, he's like, I think it was, he said in a day, you never do more than like 2 or 3 drops.
Okay. So it's very potent.
It's very like potent. It doesn't get you high or anything like that, like a narcotic does.
Right. It's just like taking a handful of Tylenol. You know, you don't take too much.
This is like, will put you on your butt and make you so sick.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So like people get really, really sick on it.
Uh-huh.
But it's because they take like, I've seen like people literally make this and then take like a spoonful of it.
Mm-hmm.
So like 100 times what everybody suggests is the dose.
Oh gosh, okay.
And it's strong.
Oh, it was like that guy that I don't know if you knew him or you were telling me that someone that was taking ivermectin and they were taking it every day.
Oh gosh. No, yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to do that. That's not how it works. But then they're like, well, it made me sick. What is it? You think?
Yeah.
You're flushing your body like 100 times.
Keep in mind, I've said this on the show before, I think, that there's more cells in your body that aren't you than are you.
Yes.
And a lot of those cells are critically important for everyday life. Specifically, yeah. The gut biome is the one that's the most obvious, is right. That we cannot digest food without the bacteria that exists in our gut biome.
Right.
Like, we'll just starve to death. Like, we'll just die. Like,
And the gut biome is the gateway for the demons to have a physical foothold on Earth realm and to overtake your body to control your mind.
So that's like a lot of times why doctors should tell you, then they don't. But like, I like our doctor a lot, pretty good, because he hasn't been a big vaccine pusher.
Yeah.
He says one thing about it every time, and then we say, you know, not to this time. He's like, all right. And that's it. Like, that's the...
He's basically doing the script line he's supposed to, has to do.
Yep, that's the extent of the conversation. No pushy, exactly. No...
Yeah.
But, you know, when you are prescribed an antibiotic, they're supposed to tell you after to do a probiotic.
Right.
Because you're killing all of the bacteria in your system, not just the bad guys.
The good ones, too, yep.
Yeah, so you're supposed to immediately, after you kill the bad guys... Help the good guys bounce back.
Right. Get a foothold.
Yeah. So let's see. So grandma oil, medicines. Like, she did all kinds of stuff. Mushrooms were a big one. I remember as a kid. She died before I really learned how to pick mushrooms. Like, anymore. Like, I pick, like, a handful of things. Like, hen of the woods, turkey tails, morels, lion's mane. The guys that really don't look like anything else.
Okay.
So that's, like, I stick to the
very obvious
safe ones.
Yeah.
And the pretty easily eatable ones.
I mean, they're all pretty easy to eat if you get your hands on them.
Yeah, well, some of them you have to, like, prepare certain ways, which I'm just about to tell you the story.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, like, some of them you have to do special things to make them edible.
Okay.
Like, dance around them in circles and stuff like that, and then they'll turn purple.
I've done that.
Yeah. No, so in all seriousness, here in Ohio, and I know we have a lot of mushroom listeners, so these aren't the species names. These are the local or colloquial names.
Ooh.
So I know it was called Hickory Jack and Slick Jack mushrooms.
Okay.
I believe they're in the toadstool family.
Okay, from Mario.
Yeah, but most toadstools I think are pretty toxic.
Okay.
So one of them you could eat and one of them you couldn't, and they looked really similar.
Okay.
And I think I was like 6 when I was picking them with her.
Okay.
I was probably 5 because she died when I was 6. No, Audrey, that's Strider. No, Audrey died when I was 12 or 13. So I could have been older. I may have been 7 or 8. I don't know. I was young.
Right. Either way, you were young.
And she was trying to explain, like, well, I'm looking for this and I'm looking for this. But we just go pick all these mushrooms. And the one of the Hickory Jack or the Slick Jack we were supposed to pick, you had to put in a cardboard box in a warm place for like 5 days to eat it.
Just to eat it?
Yeah.
What was the point?
I think now, knowing what I know now, is to make it drop all of its spores.
Okay.
Because the spores were what was toxic in it.
Okay, that makes sense.
In my head, I don't know that for a fact.
But right.
You had to put the mushroom gills down, so that would let all the spores essentially fall out of it.
Fall out, yeah.
And it would be like half the size that you put it in, because a lot of the moisture would be out.
Right. And a lot of mushrooms have a lot of moisture.
They're mostly moisture, like any, So, I know there was a lot of that kind of stuff. Like foraging now isn't scary if you just go with somebody that knows. I'm going to say this is probably the best thing about the modern age for this kind of stuff. Is join a Facebook group for your area and go out. Vet these people. You know, don't just pick somebody like that says they know how to tell mushrooms.
Right.
But... you know, go with a group, and if there's some people that have, you know, been doing it for a while, try to learn from them to do the foraging. Mushrooms and berries. And Ohio, we don't have tons and tons of, like, death berries.
Mm-hmm.
But we have stuff that'll make you sick.
Like pokeberry.
and then spice bush, which are little, they have little red berries with hard seeds in them.
Yep.
If you eat that, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to suck.
Wait. So it will hurt you? Or what are you saying? It won't kill you, but it's going to suck?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. It tastes like black pepper, like the strongest black pepper you've ever had in your life.
Right.
It doesn't go away.
Oh, I understand.
So like 3-4 days after you eat that seed, it still tastes like black pepper.
I mean, if you like that, though, you could. It is edible.
No,
right?
No, yeah, there is. Yeah, so you use them. People use them as seasonings, but you have to You have to do things to them,
right, to calm them down.
Yeah, you will not taste like if you eat that and then try to eat chicken, you'll just taste black pepper.
Right. Yeah.
You don't taste it. I mean, you don't. It's like a partial paralysis of the tongue too. I think in the decent doses.
Well, I would try it on mac and cheese.
And that's all it would taste like.
Yeah. Well,
so there's a couple. Kill ya. There's a couple from me. So you're up.
A couple of skills or something
yeah,
that you're.
Yeah.
So, like that you wanted to learn from your grandma.
Yeah, or the are kind of being forgotten with her generation. Yes. Yeah. You know, canning is a big one that I'm not an expert. Yeah. I fail all the time, but it's a learning.
But you
thing.
Also succeed.
Yeah. No, I've had good stuff. So that's one thing that trying, you know, to learn more how to do and preserve right. and cook and that those kind of things. Like I'm just about to start trying to do dry canning, which
ooh, exciting.
I remember so they would make like whole powder soup kits.
Yes.
So you just take this can and dump it into a pot of boiling water and then you have soup.
Soup. Yeah.
I got a nice dehydrator now. They used to do it by hand or with a wood stove. I have a big dehydrator I'm just going to do it with now.
And since you mentioned that, I was going to say it earlier too, when you talked about like the Facebook groups and the good things about like the modern day, like some of the good we actually have we can use it for, is one of them is Facebook groups and networking that way. Like we can network so much easier now than, you know, they could in that generation. Which to spread knowledge is such an advantage. So there's things now we can use as an advantage that they didn't have, you know. That's, I think we need to call it the new old way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like doing the old things traditional ways, but with modern, I guess technological advances are nice, yes, but new modern ways to achieve them, which would make them even easier.
Yeah, the vacuum canner has been the best thing ever.
Right. Or like you mentioned, having a dehydrator instead of a just having a wood stove all day,
mm-hmm.
dehydrating something, you know. There's things, and like the biggest thing, like I still think is probably the biggest positive and the biggest negative is our ability to connect with each other from distances. And having the convenience of like apps, like identifying mushrooms. We have the apps for them now. You know what I mean? Which is a great thing. But at the same time, we're losing the ability to do it naturally. You know?
Well, I think it's you can't just rely on that fully and just be like, all right, I'm going to use this to tell every time. You got to try to guess and then use it to check your work.
Right. I think it's the proper way to do it. Yes, if you actually want to learn. Rather than relying. And I think, you know, with something our generation is going to struggle with and future generations below us that our grandparents didn't, is they didn't have that safety net of their phone to look up something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because if you eat the wrong thing, you just die or the meat all goes bad this winter or, you know.
You're forced to remember.
Yeah.
You're forced to. Now it's with the convenience, you do not have to commit anything to memory that's, you know, of importance like that, you don't have to because you got your phone to rely on, which, yeah, you know, we're losing that ability, which, you know, is not good. Not good, in my opinion. Not good.
So no, I'm right there with you.
Hope we can regain that a little bit or gain some traction.
I mean, it's just trying to do it, you know. It's going and buying the can and stuff or, you know, failing and...
I mean, not you and me individually, but we as a whole.
Yeah.
We. The royal we.
Buy some quail or some chickens.
If you're going to start with birds out there, not you because you already know. My recommendation is start with quail. If you're on the fence, start with quail because it takes up very little space and it's very easy to manage.
If you're in, if you're feed in and water them. Country or you have the space, start with chickens.
You think so?
Quail are a lot faster and are more probably space oriented. Like you get food more immediately, like 6 to 8 weeks to start laying eggs. 10 weeks you can butcher them. And then the 16 days to hatch. So you get like a high turnover.
Yes.
But from my experiences last couple of years having quail, is they're really finicky and you can lose everything in one night.
Well, there's that part too, I guess, I suppose.
Like they'll stop laying for some reason and they'll die from water. Like get two or three chickens, get some eggs, buy older chickens if you want, buy chicks if you want, it doesn't matter. And then figure it out from there and then expand out. Or the quail. It's really how you want to do it. Like, if you want to have something in a rabbit hutch that you can raise, then start with quail.
Right. They're just, from my experience, because, I guess it doesn't help. I never actually have had chickens. But the quail are just, it's very easily, if you got a space to put them in, they're very easy to manage. As long as nothing can break in and murder them all in one night, because they can, because they're very little. But they're easy, and you don't have to worry about them, like, ripping your leg up with a talon.
Right, no, they really can't hurt you.
They can't. They can't. But one thing my grandma did that was, I remember, here's a memory that she did. So, like, my family's tradition, one of her traditions that my dad kept, and that my family's doing, and that I already know that I'm going to continue because I've already started it, is growing our own sweet corn and canning it and freezing it, bagging it and freezing it. And you've had our sweet corn, right?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
It's pretty iconic.
Yeah, no, it's every time.
And so that's something that she did, her family, my grandma's family did growing up. And I have memories of my youth going over like my great uncle's house and shucking corn, you know, for a whole day just so they can make, you know, do the harvest in one day. So we have food for the whole year. But my grandma also did, she didn't just do corn. She had her own famous applesauce, homemade applesauce recipe. And when I tell you, this applesauce was liquid crack cocaine. And it's the most, so I'm sure everyone's had applesauce. They've had Mott's. You know what it tastes like. This didn't taste like that. I didn't realize eating regular like Mott's, you know, applesauce in the store. I didn't realize that's what applesauce tastes like because I've always just grew up only eating strictly my grandma's. So I remember one time, a memory is I was going over to her house one day. I had something I was going to drop off to her and my grandpa. And I knocked on the front door and no one answered. So I just walked, you know, let myself in. And I walked in and my grandma's back in the kitchen. And she has, you remember, did you have like toy totes growing out the plastic?
Oh, yeah.
Like totes for, you know, the big ones. She had about three of those big ones clear on her kitchen counter, full to the brim of applesauce. And she had about 10 smaller ones lined up on her counter, full to the brim of applesauce. Full. I'd never seen so much applesauce in my life. But it was the only time I had ever witnessed her doing the process of making it all and bagging it all. Because that's what they do. They bag it. She had her own blend of apples that she used. And from the same farm she'd always go to get them. And then she had her own. And then she had her ratio of, you know, with adding sugar and whatnot. And then she'd bag it all up, portion it all out, and freeze it. Hundreds of bags that she would distribute to all of her kids' families, which was mine included. And we'd all have applesauce for the year. So if you're hungry, you want applesauce for the meal, you'd thaw out a bag for the evening. And that was the best part because you have the bowl of applesauce and half it was still frozen in the middle. And it was the best, coldest, the most refreshing, delicious applesauce in the world. And I have one bag in my possession still from Grandma. And it's a vintage 2018 year. It's a good year.
Are you going to save it for your wedding?
There's a fine ear. Now, what I'm actually doing is I know the kind of apples, and I'm going to attempt to make my own small batches, and I'm going to break off a piece of the frozen applesauce as a taste tester until I get it just right. Mm. And once I can match it, then I'll know. And then maybe I'll put that bag in a museum or something, or put it in a time capsule for future generations. Maybe we'll take it to the seed vault.
The seed vault, yeah.
Yeah, a bag of applesauce from 2018. It deserves it. Future generations need this. But that's one thing. I'm going to find the applesauce recipe. I'm going to do it. That's going to be one of my goals for my grandma. Remember I told you, not just like people around my age knew my grandma's cooking. Like all the people that went to school, to our school, our high school around my parents' age, they knew my grandma's applesauce. It's iconic. It's legendary.
Right. No, I get that. No, there's certain foods that just you'll never get back.
Nope.
Fried potatoes from Grandpa. He would do really good. He'd do some chicken with it, but the fried potatoes were very simple but very good. Grandma Sharon's cakes.
Ooh.
That was really good.
Ooh, my grandma used to make a like sheet pound cake kind of thing. And then she would serve this warm, like, custardy pudding you'd pour over it. I've never even seen that anywhere else before.
Custard pudding?
It was like a custardy. It was like a warm pudding, but it wasn't like when you think of, you know, pudding. It was more like a custardy type, but it was warm. It was served like piping hot, and you'd pour it over like a cold cake. Oh my god!
What other stuff? What's the big stuff? We're getting too nostalgic.
I know. Oh, sorry.
How to fix your own vehicle? How to repair anything in a house?
Like, so yeah, my grandparents they built their one house, which my grandpa and I kind of taught my dad. My dad did carry that like construction. My grandparents were very self-efficient. Pretty much built everything, you know, did everything themselves, which my dad picked up on that. And that's maybe where I need. I've got a little bit, but not on my dad's level, and definitely not on my grandparents' level. But yeah, building your own house. Can you imagine that nowadays?
So we did that. Like
your family did?
Dad did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an art that's going away.
Yeah, and thing is, it was never finished. But Dad pretty much did it by himself. Like a couple. Yeah. Don't worry. A couple buddies really did help, but. Like, a lot of it was Dad.
Yeah. See, my dad started on, actually, the place I live in now. My dad drew up the blueprints for that. He actually showed me the blueprints to it. He still has them, and he drew them on, like, you know that yellow, like, notebook paper that's long?
Mm-hmm.
That's what my dad used to draw up blueprints. And he took those to the bank with his blueprints, and they approved him for a loan with those. For a house.
Do you know how hard it is to get a house loan now?
I know. And that's my dad did it on notebook paper. He got...
Well, here...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a strike, though, against the older generation. I'll say that. I know we have some listeners that may be in that generation. Yeah. Some of them do not understand how hard it is now to get a house or a loan.
For sure.
Like,
and I can...
I've had talks with those people being like... I just don't get how you guys don't buy your houses and why you have to rent everything. Because nobody will give us money, and it's almost impossible to save $20,000 for a down payment.
No, I mean, I think – I forget the number now. I know it's gone up, but last time I read it, it was like over 65% of Americans can't afford a $1,000 emergency.
Oh, no, yeah.
So how are you going to – you know, you're going to buy go ahead and buy a house. Yeah, just go ahead and buy it. With what?
Yeah.
With what?
And, you know, and that's that thing where that's that kind of generational gap. You know, they were able to save and.
Right. Yeah. You know, definitely different times, stronger economy.
But did you ever hear that one guy? Okay. It's hilarious because he's dead serious. It's a guy maybe at 70s, early 70s.
Okay.
And he's like, and he's doing this interview with these, like, these young men are going around, like, Lowe's and stuff like that. Like, hey, would you mind telling us how much you paid for your first house?
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of the people are participating. Some of them get mad or whatever.
Right.
One lady's like, yeah, I got a brand new house, $23,000. And he's like, well, if you don't mind, how much did you and your husband make that year? And she's like, I believe right at $20,000.
Yeah.
So for today, you know, in our area, a moderately priced home is $100,000 to $150,000. So to equivalent that, you'd have to be making $100,000 to $150,000-ish dollars a year.
And that's a cheap home.
That's a cheap home. Moderate, you know, a smaller home, you know.
Right.
On the smaller side, you know, easily around us, you can get $200,000 or $300,000.
Hold on. Let me just Google average U.S. home cost.
Oh, average?
What do you think what do you think it's going to be?
Probably right around 115.
Price. Let's see.
Because they're going to count in a lot of small stuff. Like,
Ooh, Mr. Daniel, you're a bit off.
How much?
Ooh, according to, the Zillow thing, there's a couple numbers here. Both aren't good. The first number is $360,000.
Okay.
And the other from another site, there's three that get brought up. The other number is $416,000.
Okay.
And this last number is from Forbes magazine, and it's $495,000, according to the Census Bureau and Department of Housing and Urban Development of 2023.
America's a big country, though, so that's kind of...
That's the average, yeah.
Across, that's what I'm saying, but you're averaging.
Right, which still, don't you think the average American citizen should be able to afford a home?
It's. I don't know. I don't know if I trust that number wholeheartedly. Because, you know, there's when you get out to some parts of this country, there's hundreds of homes that are easily $4, 5, 6 million.
For sure.
So, and that will skew a data set like that. Those outliers will pull numbers hard.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's more average income people in the U.S. or more under average or more over average?
So let's say middle class and below. Most of the homes that they need are going to be $200,000, right around there, I'm going to say. You know, for a family of four, a $200,000 home. And 70% of this country probably could do it pretty easy. You know what I mean? Like, size-wise and, you know, for that money. Not with no land associated with it. You know, that's a that's a different game.
Right.
I'm going to say they can't.
What if we compared the average number? So what'd she say? That lady in the interview, you know, we're ballparking here, but, you know, she...
She said, like, 23, I think.
And then her average, or she made about 20,000, right?
Yeah, her husband made about 20,000.
So I just looked, let's just say the average number, let's just do that middle number and do like $400,000 for the average home.
Yeah.
So the average U.S. annual salary, according in 2023, guess the number.
I know the numbers, but go ahead.
Oh, it's 59, it says $59,000.
Actually, I have a sheet of paper right here with all of that information.
Oh, okay. What's it say?
Well, no, go ahead. Talk for a second because I got to pull it out.
You don't literally have it right in front of you.
No, I mean, it's beside me.
That would be hilarious. You were just looking at it.
Well, no, that's 2 days ago.
That's just what this says on USA Today.
I mean, no, I that's about accurate.
If the average citizen is $60,000 and the average home is $400,000, come on, that's one. How many years? One, two. Two, three, four, what, eight, almost 8 years, not quite 8 years.
If every cent you ever made went to
your house,
yeah.
Something strange is afoot in the local Circle K.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ain't right.
No. Let me finish the thing. Sorry. So they interview this guy and he gets kind of mad and he's like, your generation, he's like, your generation just doesn't get it. He's like, you know what I did? That's what you all need to do. He's like, I bought a house, and I immediately rented that house out. And then I used the money from that to buy another house to rent that one out. And by the time I was 25, I owned 9 houses. And I was paying them off the mortgage plus profit off all of them. All I did was buy those houses. And
well,
the guy's like, do you not, like, we can't get a house.
Was this the same guy that said, why do you rent instead of owning your own house?
That may have been I think that was the same interview.
Then how the hell does he realize that's how he made his money is off people that he just was shitting on?
Well, see, that's what he was saying. They're sheep, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, don't be a sheep.
Right, yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
See, but they're forcing us to be.
And we're even talking about the lower middle class to the, you know, to below. Where, like, literally they can't afford rent and it's on fixed income settlements, right. You know.
Oh, it gets worse. It gets absolutely worse. Absolutely. Yeah. It's awful.
So we're at over an hour right now.
Yeah.
So what do you want? You want one more to end it on?
One more skill or one more what?
Any point, skill, stuff your grandma forgot.
Guess if we're gonna end it on something, I think you should just end it on your grandma and grandparents are still around, and the older the better to take some time and don't forget about them. Get to just keep them involved in your life. Learn from them. Pick their brain. Discover things that you are going to be lost once they're gone. Because once they're gone, you can't get it back. All you're going to have is your memories.
I think that's a perfect one.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess we don't have to. Let's just end this one.
Wish me a merry Christmas.